This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Howdy, this is Jim Brackmeyer of baseball broadcast fame. It's 3 p.m. and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, from one legend to another, how's about we crack open a couple of pops and call a game together sometime?
Oh, that'd be nice. And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, February 24th, 2021. Michael K. Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours.
Sure we are.
The other 20 and a half, Peter.
That's for you to decide. You,
now, did you hear that open?
Right.
Did you hear that open, Peter? He might be willing to actually call a game with Brockmeyer. A known drug addict, drunk, womanized.
Not a Yankee game.
Well, what do you think he's talking about?
Well, I think, you know, he finished the series as the A's announcer. We'll do it with the A's.
Mm. Yeah, because
that's an interesting thought.
That's okay for the A's, but for the Yankees, never.
Right.
Well, that's
it's different. It's a different standing.
No, the A's are willing to have a full-blown raging lunatic like Brockmeyer. The Yankees can't even have two stand-up men and broadcasters.
You know what's funny, though,
and you guys could both speak to this. The Yankees actually do have a full-born lunatic who controls himself for the 3 hours on the Yankee games.
John Sterling.
No, me.
Oh, right, you.
You don't think we can control ourselves?
Sterling's a crazy
man. No, I said I can control myself. So I think you'll be fine. I just don't think you guys are important enough to be on Yankee games.
Well, that's what? All right.
See,
well,
that's
now
even
it's
worse.
Out there. Now it's said. And we disagree.
Do you have I thought you were going to update us on some things that have
Yeah, it's happening. I thought maybe we'd have an update today. Could be tomorrow, could be today.
But there are things happening.
There are things that are in the works.
Well,
this is such a tease.
If you're delivering the message, I'm just assuming it's a lie.
Well, but
if there is a higher up that doesn't want us on the air, I want them to come on the show and tell us.
But Don, Don, have you even considered if it's the other direction, they do want to do it?
Yeah, maybe I'm trying to talk them out of it.
Well, I know you're trying to talk them out of it.
That's the sad part, is that Hal goes, you know, I heard the bit on the radio, Michael. It's pretty funny. Of course we'd have them on. What are you, nuts? And Michael has to go, no. You don't trust me, Hal. You don't want to do that. That's the sad
part. It's almost like you tapped my phone.
Yeah, I know. That's sad.
But do you think if Hal wanted to do, like, let's say he called Michael and said, this is a fabulous idea. Why didn't we think of this before? Do you think Michael would actually argue the counterpoint or become company guy and then say that it was his idea all along, boss man? I think this is a great idea as well.
I would never call Hal boss man.
But you would.
I never called George Steinbrenner a boss.
You didn't?
No, I called him Mr. Steinbrenner.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, when I was a writer, I called him George.
But not when you worked for him.
I never really worked for him, but when I got out of the you know, that I was covering him, I just thought a matter of respect. He was older, and he was the guy who owned the team. I called him Mr. Steinberg.
Because, do you think I should call Joe from Staten Island, whatever his last name is, Mr.
Yes,
that?
I think
Giuseppe DeMelfi.
Yeah, should I call him Mr. DeMelfi?
Yeah, you should. No, but you don't have to. He's not your boss. He's not above you in the pecking order.
What?
That's for sure.
Like, I think you should call our GM, Tim McCarthy, Mr. McCarthy.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I believe you should.
I would never call him.
Like, if I ran into the head of ESPN, Jimmy Pitaro, I wouldn't call him Jimmy. I'd call him Mr. Pitaro. He's younger than me.
I think in that case, you're right. But if we're being fair, Jimmy Pitaro runs the entire company.
Right.
There's a difference between running the entire company and the person who's your direct boss. But
so you don't think Tim runs enough for you to, like, have respect?
No.
That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying right now.
Tim knows that I have deep respect and appreciation for him, but he knows that I treat him as a normal man who's in a senior position. But he wouldn't want me to go cow. And I know Tim. If I met Jimmy more than three times, I'd start calling him Jimmy.
Yeah.
What's up, Jimmy? What's up, baby? We good?
Once you have a personal relationship.
Well, you guys, you do you, I'll do me.
Well, you don't say Mr. McCarthy.
Well, we're friends for a long time before we were, you know, boss and employee. You guys weren't friends with him. You've always been a boss and employee.
I think we've become friends. We've become friendly.
Yeah, he doesn't like you as much as you think.
Well,
really?
It doesn't matter. Just keep me employed. That's fine. That's where our relationship can begin and end, as far as I'm concerned.
You
know, I like the guy, but I'm not going to be held to some, like, I got to do whatever. I've got a contract. I honor my contract. He honors his. That's the relationship. Then we're good. But I've been friendly with him for 20 years. Don't try to come in between everything.
I was in his wedding party. You weren't.
Well, he was at my wedding and actually showed up.
I did too.
I know, but very late. Very late.
Wait,
this portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhattan, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Let me ask you one question, Don. Do you really expect I should have given up a Red Sox game to be at your wedding from the very start? I got there late. You didn't have to pay for a plate, and I gave you a big gift. That's all that matters.
Listen, I appreciated that. But
how late was he, Don?
Very late. They were closing up.
Yankees Red Sox, Peter, is that important. They play 19 times during the course of the year. Yes, does like at least 15 of them. Still couldn't make.
Well, he doesn't ever take off games, though.
Usually doesn't. You won't find him in Texas too often.
That's not true. I've been in Texas.
I'm not saying you haven't been in Texas.
I'm almost doing every game this year.
How many? I want a number.
135 out of the 150 right. That we'll do.
And you will not set foot in any stadium but Yankee Stadium.
But how? This year it looks that way. But
yeah,
in the second half they could loosen things up where we might be able to travel, and I'll have to travel, and I'll be willing to do it. Because you know, as I told you, Peter, it's a new Michael Kay. Once I get that needle in my arm, new Michael Kay.
And I can't wait for that. And by the way, he's not talking about the vaccine. He's picking up a heroin addiction, which I'm really excited about. I do think it's funny, though, that you give Don a hard time for not dancing at your wedding, but you barely showed up to Don's wedding.
No, but the fact he did come was just amazing.
How far out it was?
Desserts away, so he was able to grab something.
Yeah, I did get a dessert, but most of the people were gone. I couldn't believe that most of the people were gone. You stayed till the end of the wedding. I got a favor, though. That's nice. If you tuned into the Knick game last night, you could actually hear the 2,000 people very loudly. I mean, it really, really came across on the television screen. And, you know, Julius Randle addressed the crowd because he made the All-Star game. We mentioned that right around ENN and right before, maybe. And they were chanting MVP. They were drowning him out. There were just 2,000 people there. And I thought it had a real nice vibe to it. Now, I kept switching back to the net game. 300 people, you could hear them, but certainly they can't make the same noise as 2,000. I could actually hear Mike Breen when he was talking about it. He was getting choked up. It means something. Wow. It does. And I think that New York has been much more careful than other places. I mean, there have been, I think the Miami Heat have like 3,000-4,000 people at each game. So New York's been very buttoned up. So the fact that New York is opening up just a little bit, it's a sign. It's a good, good sign. And I think it meant something yesterday. It didn't mean enough for the Knicks to be able to beat the Golden State Warriors, which we'll get into in a moment. But, you know, it's the first peek into being normal again. And I enjoyed it. I really did. I enjoyed the game even more knowing that fans were there.
I think it's more symbolic than anything else because you're right. You could hear them. You really couldn't see them. Because the way the court is set up, like there isn't that celebrity row where you see the fans right up against the court. So unless they specifically showed the crowd, you didn't see it. But, yeah, you could feel it. Hey, listen, we saw that in the playoffs with the Buffalo Bills. It was 6,500 people. But they could be heard. You know why? Because the people that are at the Garden, they're true fans. Because now you're not going there to be seen. Because that's what happens at a lot of Knick games. You get 20,000 people, but how many of those are really – true Knick fans? Are they tourists? Are they there to be seen? It's just an event. It's something to do. I would think the 2,000 people that showed up at the Garden last night are Knick fans who want to be at a Knick game, and they're going to be heard. They're going to be loud. They're not schmoozing clients. They're not hoping to see a celebrity. They're there to see a basketball game, and they're going to be heard. But it's more symbolic to me, Peter, that, hey, we're starting to head in this right direction. First, we got sports back. Now some fans are allowed in. And I think there'll be a progression to where now this could be the start of where you can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yesterday, I was impressed. Justin Tuck was there. I don't know if you watched enough of the game. Yeah, and Tracy Morgan. And Tracy Morgan, I don't know if you caught this, Peter, was wearing a gold rope chain around his neck.
Sure.
That I'd say had to at least weigh 50 pounds.
Yeah, he wears some of the big truck old school jewelry.
And then he had, at the end of the gold necklace, a pendant with TM in diamonds. I mean, the thing must have cost $100,000.
Well, I mean, you know Tracy is spending. He's still spending the money from that accident, and he's got a gazillion.
He'll never spend that.
He's got a gazillion dollars.
Yeah. Right. I'm sure he would have rather not been in that accident, but.
He will. Of course he would, but he does make a lot of jokes about how great the accident was. Financially, sorry. I mean, he lost a friend in it. It was really horrible. But in his comedy routine, when he talks about how much money he made, he makes the joke. Who was it? Walmart?
Yeah, I think so.
And he'll always say in his jokes, he was like, it was Walmart, not Walbaums, or something like that. Like talking about how much money he got.
It's a really good imitation.
Now, I can do it okay, Tracy. That was not it.
Now get to the court now. Out of the stands and on the court. Knicks fans are excited about the overachieving nature of this team. I am too. Second time they've had an opportunity to go to 500. Second time they lost the game. Okay, that's fine. They're still seventh in the Eastern Conference. But when you watch the game, they're still short. So when people rail at us and, well, why would you want Bradley Beal? Let it build slowly. At some point, you're going to have to add a great player. Now, I don't know if you're going to get that great player in free agency, if you're going to be able to draft that great player. You're going to have to get a transcendent player. And I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. I'm just speaking the truth here. There's no transcendent player on the Knicks. Julius Randle is an all-star. He's been great. He is not a superstar. RJ Barrett is an incredible tease. Incredible. Had an awful game yesterday. Had 10 rebounds. Couldn't hit a shot. Derrick Rose had trouble getting the ball in the hoop. It's a team that simply, they're the definition of overachievers. They're not overly talented. They're squeezing every last bit out of the orange, but they need more. And, you know, we were talking before the show, well, they don't need it this year. Well, they need it when they can get it, when it's made available to them. That's when they need it. Because it's not easy to pick up a transcendent star. Now, do you believe that Bradley Beal is that guy? I don't know. I don't know if he is. But I will tell you this. Bradley Beal goes on the Knicks right now. You know what? Alert. He's the best player on the team. He's the best player. He's better than Julius Randle. I'm sorry. Julius Randle's had an unbelievable year. Very good player. A player that could be on a championship team, which I think is the height of compliment. But when you tell me, we're just going to build slowly with these kids. There's not enough there yet. There's not enough there. Does anybody within the sound of our voice really believe that RJ Barrett is going to become a transcendent superstar? He might be a nice player on a good team, but transcendent? Every team that competes for a championship has two great players, two transcendent players. That's why the Nets are so special. They have three. All three are all-stars.
Right.
The Knicks don't have that transcendent player. So we could sit back, we can enjoy it. And as I said the other day, Knicks fans are so starved for something that even is representative that you could throw a hunk of Spam in front of them and they'll devour it like it's Chateaubriand. It's not. Right now, it's hamburger. You're looking for a nice steak somewhere down the line. They've got, not that's not even hamburger. It's Salisbury steak. Now, Tom Thibodeau's coaching is making it taste like a hamburger, but they're not close to a steak yet. So when you see them lose to a team like Golden State, you realize they're not at that point yet. And alert everybody, Golden State is a decent team. They're not a great team. They'll be great again next year when Clay gets back and all the components are there and they're letting Wiseman grow and Wiggins grow. Yeah, all of that. And Steph's going to be a year older, but he seems like he's great still. But they lost to a team that was kind of okay. They should be able to beat that team. They should have been motivated to beat that team first time in the Garden with fans. And I'm not knocking them. I'm not criticizing them. They're not good enough yet. That's what everybody has to realize. Don't fall in love and think that this team, once it matures for 2 or 3 years, is going to be Chateaubriand. It's not. It's not good enough. And it might be a killer hamburger and you know, make the playoffs every year. It's not going to win a championship.
But never mind that. You have movable pieces here that if you continue to play them, then the warts show, and now you can't get as much for those players if you decide to move them. Like, I don't know what the Beal situation is. It doesn't look like he's going to get traded. But let's say they like R.J. Barrett, and they would make that deal. Oh, no. We're going to want to hold on to the young kids. All right, fast forward a year from now, and Barrett doesn't get any better. Now you want to make a deal. Now you can't get what you could have gotten for Barrett a year ago because now he's shown his warts, and now you can't get nearly as much. So you got to be careful, Michael, because if it doesn't work out, that means it doesn't work out because the young players didn't grow. And now you maybe can't get what you could have gotten for him earlier. See, every fan wants a deal without risk. Every fan wants a steal. But sometimes you've got to give to get. And if you got a chance to get a transcendent player now, yeah, I get you want to wait, but if you wait, that player's not available, and maybe the pieces you have aren't as beautiful to deal a year from now or 2 years from now. So you've got to make some decisions, but sometimes you got to make them before you really know because you can't afford to wait.
The one piece that I'll, I don't know if it's disagreeing with you, Michael, but that I'll point out is I think there's a chance that Julius Randle could be one of 2 to 3 special players at the core of this team. Like, in other words, if you got one other star, transcendent star, someone bigger, a better player than Randle, I think Randle could be a piece with that player that leads to a quality team.
You know, like what he, I look at Randle as, though? I mean, what? I would respectfully disagree. He could be Draymond Green or Andre Iguodala. He can't be one of the 2 great team players. I don't think.
He's a level above those guys. I mean, offensively. He's a consistent scorer. I think he's a level up on offense. I really do. Maybe I'm crazy, but I think I hear what you're saying. Listen, Bradley Beal and Julius Randle alone is not enough to compete for a championship. We know that. That's not real. So you're right about it in that regard. But you also have to get the right piece, because if you like what you're seeing here so far and you decide to make a massive trade to get a star in which you get rid of all these guys, you're essentially starting from scratch again. And if you like the hustle, if you like the fortitude of this team, if you like what Thibodeau is able to do with him, do you really want to start over completely?
But who would be starting over completely? By making a deal?
Making a deal in which they get rid of the core that they have here.
No, I'm not saying, I don't want that kind of deal. I think R.J. Barrett can be a member of a good team. I don't think he could be a star on a good team. I haven't seen it. He's too inconsistent.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I won't decide whether that's the story of his career. But he has not, it's sort of like Sam Darnold. You know, he hasn't shown us yet. RJ hasn't shown us that he can consistently be a player to be excited about.
Has he even, like, I don't want to disrespect the kid because he's still a young man, but has he scratched the surface of what we've seen from Zion and Ja, who were the picks right ahead of him?
No, he hasn't.
And then when you watch that game yesterday, you realize how unlucky the Knicks have been. So the year that they're awful, they get the 3rd pick rather than the 1st or 2nd, they get Morant or Zion. And then the year that they were middling, 1 pick away from Steph Curry. 1 pick away! They always just miss. I hope that their luck begins to... Now, you could say that luck is a residue of design, but sometimes luck is just luck. And they have had some really lousy luck. Really lousy. Now, they've also drafted poorly. Frank Ntilikina never should have been drafted. Never. Ever. So they missed that one. But sometimes the pick that they want to make, they fall 1 pick short because of a ping pong ball that didn't go their way.
Can we all take a moment here? We're talking about the Knicks, but since we're talking about last night, let's not be we'd be remiss if we didn't bring it up. I mean, Steph Curry, that is a man. He may look like a small child. That is a man. He is so damn good. I really did not believe that we would get this Steph again. He's the exact same guy.
Yeah, he hasn't aged.
They didn't have any answer for him. Ultimately, that was what it came down to, is 37 points from Steph Curry.
And they gave the Knicks every chance to win that game. They couldn't hit a shot in the 4th quarter. And the Knicks ended up tying it up, but then Steph took over.
But
had
haven't
a
we
great
talked
pass, had a big 3.
And we've talked about that, Michael. That's kind of the worst problem for this team. The Knicks do not seem to have the guy who you want to put the ball in that player's hands down the stretch of a close game.
Yep.
Absolutely. Which really speaks to what you're saying completely. Because that transcendent player, he's the guy who you know is getting the ball late.
1-800-919-3776. They've released the second half of the NBA schedule. The Knicks are on ESPN a couple of times, so ESPN actually likes what they see. The Nets and the Celtics tip off the second half on TNT. That's on March 11th in Brooklyn. So I wonder if they're going to continue to do this, guys, where they play the first half of the schedule and then reset and make another half after that. See which teams are good, which teams are surprising, which teams they should highlight in national games. That might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Well, you mean like not announcing the schedule for the second half?
Until
you have
to. The All-Star break, yeah.
I don't know. Is that logistically? I guess it is logistically
possible.
They're doing it now. They did it this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it would have to be. How do you do that though, and then work with the NHL?
Well, I guess you still have the dates that are open. You just decide which game's going to be played. So you reserve dates.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess you could do that, or you could do is just have the schedule, but you don't make announcements on what's going to be televised nationally.
Right.
But you do want to have certain matchups like later in the. I don't know. It's like the NHL had their schedule already, so they knew what to work with. So I guess you could continue to do that as long as the NHL doesn't want to have to try to do it too, because a lot of these buildings are shared. Plus, you were able to do this, Michael, because you've got no concerts or anything. Like, how are you able – you might be able to just reserve the dates, but it's still, like, a lot of moving parts that have to be done with the other things that happen in your building. But it could make it a lot more interesting if they're able to work it out. So I guess, yeah, you just reserve the date. You just wouldn't know who you're going to fill in to play at that particular moment.
Lakers come to town to meet the Knicks on April 12th. That's a Monday at 7:30. I'm looking at their schedule right now. That's a highlight of the Garden slate, I would think. And Zion comes in for the first time because he was injured last year when they played in the Garden. And they finish with three home games against San Antonio, Charlotte, and Boston. Hopefully those games are important. 1-800-919-3776. We got a lot of stuff to do today. We're going to get it done. We'll talk some baseball. Also, my people are telling me that Don has a list.
Yes.
Yeah. Good one,
oh,
Don.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, and it's topical.
Interesting. Topical.
Hmm.
Are you drinking milk, Peter?
No, this is one of the fakakta boxed water.
What do you need boxed water for? You don't have a tap in your house or what?
I ordered a salad earlier, and I just ordered it because I like sometimes just having a bottle of water, you know, in this case.
You just like throwing away money is what you're saying. Because there's no better tap water in the world than New York tap water.
Oh, God, it makes the pizza so delicious, the bagel so good. Everyone's such a water expert in this.
You know what? Why don't you just move away if you don't like it?
No, I love it. I just want people to stop making things up, okay?
It's considered the best tap water in the country.
I believe that. And by the way, I go to Florida once a month, and I've tried drinking the tap water. It's disgusting. Like, you can taste that it's bad. But when people give me the explanation of that's why you can't find a good bagel anywhere on earth is because of the delightful water in New York, you know what I say? Go scratch.
Wow.
Don, you're with me.
Yes.
So
it's tap water, but does that mean it's better than bottled water? I agree, it's the best tap water.
I've always thought that a great business proposal would be to put, sell New York tap water around the country.
The only people who would buy it are yo-yos like you who think everything about this. Like you would also just sell garbage from New York. Hey, excuse me, do you live in podunk middle of America that no one cares about? Do you want to buy New York trash? We empty out those heavy trash cans all over the city to sell you our garbage. Come on.
Everything connected to New York is better than everything anywhere else.
So, Don, what I just did, what I thought was somewhat funny, it was a joke. Michael then echoed it with it being serious.
Yeah. I think you could sell New York trash.
Some people would say we do every day from 3 to 7.
I have a very, very interesting and self-evaluating story about the COVID-19 vaccine when we come back.
Okay.
And I'm going to let Peter and Don be judge and jury.
All right. Scary, but okay.
But it's in a word, troubling. Let's put it that way.
All right.
How afraid I am of things.
Mm. Here we go.
Sit back. There's a lot to unpack, Don. A lot. So sit back, relax, towel off, shower off, and let's do this. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
The Yankees actually do have a full-born lunatic who controls himself for the 3 hours on the Yankee games.
John Sterling.
No, me.
Oh, right, you.
You don't think we can control ourselves?
I think you'll be fine. I just don't think you guys are important enough to be on Yankee games. So
well, that's what? All right.
See,
well,
that's
now
even
it's
worse.
Out there. Now it's said.
I thought you were going to update us on some things.
I thought maybe we'd have an update today. Could be tomorrow. Could be today.
This is such a tease.
If you're delivering the message, I'm just assuming it's a lie.
Well, but
if there is a higher up that doesn't want us on the air, I want them to come on the show and tell us.
But Don, have you even considered if it's the other direction, they do want to do it? Hal goes, you know, I heard the bit on the radio, Michael. It's pretty funny. Of course we'd have them on. What are you, nuts? And Michael has to go, no, you don't trust me, Hal. You don't want to do that.
It's almost like you tap my phone.
The Michael Kay Show.
I would never call Hal boss man.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, what a first hour. Are you not entertained? I think you are. How's everybody doing? And, you know, I said this on Monday. I got jumped by my brilliant co-hosts. There is spring in the air today, Donald.
Oh, yeah.
Spring in the air today. Take a whiff. Take a smell,
definitely.
Baby.
There was not spring in the air yesterday, though. Today, definitely, because it was like 56 degrees when I was out today.
That's right. You went out for coffee again?
No. I had some errands to run.
Well, what are you doing? Well,
I'm
errands.
Out of business.
I'd like to know. I'd like to know where you're going.
Well, there's always stuff to do. You
got but
go
you,
to the
you
bank.
Shouldn't be going willy nilly out to places.
I'm not going willy nilly. Kids got to get their fluoride that we put in their milk every morning. That's got to get picked up at the drugstore.
There you go.
Got to stop at the bank.
Wait, how do you stop at the bank? You don't even know how to use a bank card.
You don't even know the code.
Nancy fills out all the paperwork, and I get it to the drive-thru. That's what I know. That's how I do it.
He hands it over.
She fills out the paperwork.
He'll get there.
When?
No, I don't. I'm good. But she's doing what she does. She likes that.
So if Nancy, and I listen, maybe I'm speaking out of school here. I can see there's some tension there. If Nancy decides at one point to get up, take the kids, and walk out, when you used to say fetal position, it's literal. You'd be crawled up in a ball.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of unknown. I think I'd figure it out over time, but there'd be a lot of immediate unknown.
You wouldn't even know how to go to the bank and get money. You'd have to borrow money from me.
I have a PIN number. I can do that. But as far as, like, you know, what the number for the savings account, checking account, you know, she fills it out.
So, in essence, you're saying I'm good.
And then when I look at the, like, what's in there, I go, oh, really? Good. That's nice.
Well, you've done very well for yourself.
Exactly.
I do well.
He knows.
No, meaning, like, I'm just saying, Peter, I don't know what's in there when I deposit it. I know what I'm depositing. But
you know
I
how
trust
much more?
Her.
You know
I
how much
trust
more,
her. Why wouldn't
you know
I trust her? I've known her all my life, pretty much.
You know how much more would be in there, Peter, if he didn't take his cameo money and buy dolls?
One doll I bought.
It's just it's a figure, okay? And it's just one.
It's a doll.
It's an action figure.
Okay.
That's what I said, Don.
Will has an interesting take. So before we get to the Herman stuff, I want to get to Will in Queens. Will?
Hi, good afternoon, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that Mike just hit a new level of narcomania with that story about the COVID vaccine.
Yep.
You narked on yourself. How is that possible?
Well, I have an answer for you, Will, and I'm glad you brought it up. That's why I can never commit a crime, because I have an overriding sense of guilt, and I would turn myself in. Because if I disapprove of others doing bad things, then how would I approve of me doing bad things? I mean, the people that listen and watch this show, you're quite blessed. I'm going to tell you why. And even Don and Peter are quite blessed, and they don't realize it.
Wow.
You're actually experiencing 4 hours a day, sometimes 3.5, like today, a living saint. I'm a saint.
Wow.
There are very few people that are nicer and better and do less bad things than me.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, you can say wow all you want. People are blessed to experience me every day. There aren't many people like me.
But at the same time, do you think those same good people then say it out loud how great they are?
That's part of it. Like, you brought it up. Why did you bring it up?
Because I like to articulate. I like to make myself a hero. So if that's my one negative, that I actually like to shine light when I do something well, okay, then I'm guilty as charged, but saintly.
Now let me ask you this, and this is probably an unfair question, but it's on my mind.
Beautiful sweater today, by the way, Don.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Everybody looks great today. Did you tell that story because you wanted to look like a good guy for narking yourself out because you didn't want to do the wrong thing and take a vaccine from somebody else?
No.
Or
I told that story to tell it on the air.
Or did you not do it because you were afraid that somebody would find out and expose you for jumping the line and accuse you
both.
Of doing that?
Absolutely both. I can't say which weighed more, but absolutely both. I could see myself being on Page Six. Yankee announcer jumps the line, gets shot that he's not, you know, doesn't deserve to get. Yeah, that was on my mind.
I respect your honesty on it.
Yeah, that was definitely on my mind.
And the reason I asked it, I was kind of curious because I think that has to be. Now, you did the right thing. I think ultimately you don't want to jump the line. And you saw that it would be perceived as that. And you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to jump the line.
Well, here's the thing that tore at me. I believe that it could be done. And you could actually explain it away because the people that made these websites up don't have any grasp of nuance or the English language. The whole rollout has been an embarrassment of the epic proportion to everybody involved. And to put together the gobbledygook of words that you can interpret one way and there's this gray area. I actually believe that I could get a shot in New York because both of my jobs are based in New York. And starting on April 1st, I will be in New York every single day. I'll be in the Bronx. And I think that the way you read those instructions, you could actually say he deserves to get vaccinated in New York City. But I wasn't sure. I probably would have been narked on by somebody or exposed. And I thought it was wrong, too, because if that gray area took a shot away from somebody. I'm getting people on Twitter and said, you did the right thing. People have 80-year-old parents. They can't get them vaccinated.
Right.
It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. You want to stop this? Get shots in people's arms, everybody. And again, I'm not. If you don't want to get a vaccine, hey, go for it, baby. It's your life. Live it. All right? That's not what I'm trying to say here. If you're an anti-vaxxer, good for you. Good. Live your life. But there are a lot of people that want vaccines that can't get them, that want them to get to a normal life. And then you open up a website, which is, I happen to be extraordinarily bright, and it's hard for me to decipher.
No, it's hard. And there's a lot of people that don't have internet access, and they're waiting on lines and being told that they got to come back another time. The weather that we've seen over the last few days, how many cancellations of appointments, and they've got to be rescheduled. Listen, it's tough. But the one thing I'm noticing, Michael, is that all the people that said they weren't going to get vaccinated, I think a lot of them are because there's an overwhelming majority of people that want to get this vaccine.
I think the overwhelming majority want it. They realize that these things are showing that they work. I mean, look at the trend lines. They work.
Well, it's been a couple of months now. The first injections were before Christmas, right? So now you fast forward 2 months later, and I mean, I've know enough people that have got vaccinated. I've gotten any number of people that have said that there was nothing to, like, the worst extreme is maybe they had to take the next day off from work or that day off because they were kind of exhausted or had, like, that kind of a side effect. But, you know, still whatever the side effect is, at least right now, shows it's not nearly as bad as actually getting the virus.
It's just crazy that, like, every different area has a different website and some people get it from the pharmacies. Some people are getting it from vaccine centers. It's just, how could it be this disorganized?
Amazing. Some news on Tiger. The sheriff out there said Tiger was not drunk. The crash was purely accidental. So he's Alex Villanueva said his department would not be filing any charges against Woods pertaining to the crash. Now, a lot of people took exception, you know, to the press conference. There were people asking if Tiger was drunk or if Tiger, you know, they're hinting at it. Why would you take exception to that? A single car crash,
right?
A guy who has had substance problems before with painkillers, that has to be asked. If you didn't ask it and you were my reporter and you worked for me, I'd fire you.
But it's a fair question even if he didn't have a past. Anytime right. You get a single car crash, yeah. You know, at 7:21 in the morning when it's light out, you know, that has to be on the table as a reason. Because if there's another car, well, then maybe that other car, that person was drunk or somebody fought, you know, did something wrong. But at 7:21 in the morning, a single car crash, that is going to be the first thing that pops into people's minds, no matter who it is, no matter what their past is. You want to clear that up. You're actually doing that for him so that you can squelch it, because that's all I saw on social media. Matter of fact, there were people, Michael, I don't know if you saw it, that were saying, why aren't you bringing up his past? Well, because we don't know if it's relevant or not.
Right.
All right? One has nothing to do with the other. Now, obviously, if it did show that he was intoxicated or was under the influence, well, then you bring in his past, and then you can kind of discuss it from there. But I'm sorry, that's a fair comment to wonder about it, but not to automatically then speculate that has to be the reason. You know, you see people dissecting the fall. How could he have changed lanes if he was sober? Not because maybe he fell asleep. Maybe he tried to swerve away from an animal on the road. Who knows?
Yeah, there's a big difference between just casually and cavalierly speculating about it on Twitter.
Exactly.
And asking as a journalist to the people who were there. Totally, totally different. Valid question.
Yeah, I was stunned when I saw that. Like, people were offended that was... I'd be offended if it wasn't asked. It's not casting aspersions on Tiger. Right. You're clearing up that it didn't right. happen.
And if I'm Tiger Woods and I was not under the influence, I'm hoping somebody asks about that so that it could get cleared up.
I will say this, though, and I know this sounds sort of callous or like I'm making a joke, and obviously you guys know I take the Tiger situation really seriously. Tiger needs to stop driving.
I was thinking that, Peter, too. Somebody of his fame, right? How many people that famous drive that don't have a driver?
This is his third accident or incident from driving. He's been behind the wheel alone in the car every time. Yeah. It's time to hire the highest level, most expensive professional driver known to man who, if Tiger was
like
supposed,
a Jeff Gordon, he should hire Jeff Gordon.
By the way, he probably could hire Jeff Gordon.
Yes, he could.
Tiger, if you're running late for work, guess what? You know what's faster than getting your own car? When you walk outside and there's a driver with the engine on waiting for you.
But I don't think there's any question he's got a lead foot. And if he's got a lead foot, he probably enjoys driving. You know, if those reports are true that he peeled out of the parking lot, it sounds like, I think they did admit that he was going at a high rate of speed. He probably was late or he just likes to drive fast. And that's irresponsible, too. You know, certainly that's nothing that you should just kind of dust off. But it sounds to me like he just enjoys driving. I don't know if I had the means, Peter, I don't know if I'd do that. I love to drive.
I do, too. But and also getting a driver, we mentioned Tracy Morgan earlier.
Of course.
He had a driver. He just got the driver got in an accident. That man, I forget his name, I'm sorry, from 60 Minutes, Simon.
Yeah.
He had a driver, got in an accident, died. So, I mean, that's not a cure-all.
No, it doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden safe. Right. But if you've had several accidents with you behind the wheel,
right,
you know.
No, but but if you hire someone, because this isn't like hiring a service where you don't know the driver. Like, literally sit there, interview drivers. Like, you're not getting an agency like what happened to the Red Wings after they won the Stanley Cup, where a guy doesn't even have a driver's license and he's riding a limousine. No, you don't rely on a company. You sit down, you interview people, and then he becomes like part of your life. He's like your assistant.
And that's the downside. I understand if you're really rich, not wanting to sit in a... Just because you have money doesn't mean you feel like sitting with someone every time you get in your car. I get that. I get it. But this has now become a pattern, unfortunately, with Tiger.
I I can speak to that, Peter. I'm like Don. I love to drive. Love it. I find it relaxing. That's when I'm away from everything. But sometimes you have to take a car service because you're going to an airport or whatever.
Right.
I can't stand them sometimes. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to make small talk. I'm bad at small talk. I hate it. So that's why sometimes people avoid it. I don't want to make small talk.
And also,
and then you don't want to be that guy, and you don't want to be rude, right, and say, I would never say to a driver, I don't want to talk. Drivers should be told by the company, you don't engage the passenger unless they engage you. But sometimes they just start talking, and then you can't be a jerk because then they're going to tell everybody that you're a jerk.
Right.
But I've had friends that have offered cab drivers $20 to shut up. Here's $20 at the end of the ride. $20 is yours if you stop talking. Don, you know this person, too.
No, I know. The car service that I get through the Rangers is terrific. They're all like fantastic people. Yeah, but sometimes you get somebody that, you know, you're just exhausted. You know, usually we come back from a Ranger game, you know, it's literally 12 o'clock, and I've got an hour and a half ride home, and sometimes I'll just put my headphones on and I'll just pass out in the back seat, you know, and they're all very cool about that. But then you're falling asleep. You got your seatbelt on, but now an hour and a half drive and somebody else is in control of your destiny, basically. And they all do a terrific job, but, you know, still, you've seen situations where, you know, it's somebody else's responsibility, literally, for your life. So I can understand him just wanting to be behind the wheel of his own car. And if he loves driving. But if you hire your own guy, then you can hire him and say, listen, don't talk to me. Right. I'm paying you, just don't talk to me.
And by the way, you could be nice about it. You could be like, listen, here's the deal. We'll be cool. We can even go out to dinner sometime, be friends. But when I'm just getting in the car on a quick ride, we don't talk. I'm not going to be, thank you so much, oh, I appreciate it. It's right. Just your job. I just get in the car and we go.
Boy, Andrew, I will never want to cross Andrew, because when he dislikes somebody, he dislikes them with such a visceral level.
Oh, my God, he never lets go.
He just texted me, he said, so you want somebody to go into a cab and give them a Steve Harvey type of letter.
No, he will never let go of Steve Harvey.
He does not like Steve Harvey. It's ruined Family Feud for him.
You ruin everything.
Well, what happened again? Harvey wrote a letter basically saying, don't look at me.
Don't come into my office unless you have an appointment. So, can you imagine Steve Harvey? Everybody probably wants to talk to him. There's not enough time in a 24-hour day.
I tried to defend Steve Harvey to Andrew, and I got shut down like 30 seconds into the conversation. It's like, absolutely not. No way.
And I was Andrew, what's behind this hatred of Harvey?
This is not how you treat people you work with. This is wrong. These are people.
You work with some people that did that to you at
ESPN. Never to that kind of extent. Absolutely never. No chance. It's not right. These are people who are spending their lives trying to prop up your show and make you look better. If all they want to do is just pass you in the hall and talk to you for a couple minutes, that's the price of being Steve Harvey, then so be it.
Here's why I tried to defend it. Is that, I think I've told the story before, I've had the pleasure of working at two stations, one with Imus and one with Howard Stern. And Mark Chernoff was the program director at both places and gave me the lecture, like he gave all the interns and everybody at work, do not make eye contact with Howard or Don, do not speak to him unless spoken to, and it sounds obnoxious. But then when you realize the sheer stardom of those guys, they couldn't get from point A to point B.
Right.
Because everybody wants their autograph, wants to talk to them, everybody wants to, you know, shoot the breeze with them. And now what ends up happening is he can't get to where he needs to go, and now he's got to be the bad guy. So he probably told Chernoff, can you do that? Now, Howard was a lot nicer than Imus, because if you did talk to Howard, he wouldn't, like, shut you down. But it had to be done. And I'm sure Steve Harvey, while he was on set for these shows, probably had a very difficult time doing what he needed to do, because everybody thinks that they can get their 2 minutes with him. So maybe it just got to a head, Andrew, where something had to be done here.
You got to let it go, Andrew.
I can't. I'm looking at the letter right now. I'm getting angry all over again.
Do you realize that you can't turn on a television set at any hour of the day and Family Feud is not on somewhere?
That's a lot of hate.
On some channel.
I avoid it without trying very easily.
Avoid what?
Family Feud.
I love that show. I think it's the greatest game show ever.
Right.
Why do you like it so much?
Because if I could pitch this to Mr. Pitaro, I would do Family Feud on ESPN, but just sports. Top 10 this, top 10 that, top 5 on the board, 100 sports.
Okay, I get that you want another
No,
vehicle.
I just think it's a wonderful thing, because you don't have to be a super genius like on Jeopardy. It doesn't take an inordinate amount of luck. It's a fun game. It's so easy. If you watch it, the half hour goes by in like an eye blink. It's wonderful entertainment.
And as great as you, and there's been some really good hosts. Nobody touches Richard Dawson.
And he used to touch a lot of people.
Well, listen, he was very.
He was kissy.
Yeah, but I don't think.
Do you know that Jay Peterman hosted Family Feud for like a year?
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. I just got a text, a tweet that, I mean, it makes it all worthwhile doing the show. You ready?
Yes.
Go ahead.
This is from Charlie. I've been listening to TMKS since 2012, and I can say without a doubt that I've become a much better human being because of how much I look up to and admire Michael K.
Interesting.
And they go, hashtag Michael K is borderline sainthood, and I'm balanced out by Rosenberg and Don LaGreca.
Because we're the bad, we're the yang to your yin.
I don't know. You'd have to ask Charlie that.
Now, Charlie, is his last name K? Is this your son?
No.
No, he doesn't tweet yet.
We're his Marlins to his Yankees. That's what he's saying.
But that really means a lot. I've made him a better human being in the 9 years.
But by the way, that's his opinion. Let's talk to his friends.
So what you're saying, my friend, is that I'm not as saintly as I say to be.
No,
What I'm saying is perspective is everything.
What's your perspective of me, Peter?
I think you're a great guy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. Right.
As I like to say, you're a great guy.
Great guy.
Michael K. Show, 98.7 ESPN, is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We went off the rails a little bit. I will get to the Herman story a little bit later on. But coming up next, it's a Daily Don. Well, we can't call it the Daily Don anymore. The Every Now and Then Don.
Love the Every Now and Then Don.
Well, I want it every day, but it was shut down.
Again, let's not bring that up, Don, because it affects the image that we have of Michael being a perfect human being.
No, I'm a perfect talk show host.
Ooh.
Wait, and a perfect human being.
There's a lot of things I'm really good at. I'm sorry.
And modesty.
And there's things that I'm horrible at.
Like modesty.
No, I think I'm fairly modest, but I think I could be honest with my family, and that's who's listening, and you guys. Well, I'm a delight.
He's modest on the square.
I'm a delight.
What are we supposed to say? You've been complimenting yourself for 20 minutes.
Right.
I'm
feeling this way. I think I need – you guys don't give me positive reinforcement. The outside world doesn't. I need it, so I'm giving it to myself.
You know what? I actually respect that.
Understanding
one's own desire for validation
I need
is very, very important. It's the reason everyone's opening their Instagram and Twitter 93 times a day to get that little – rush of adrenaline that we get. So
that's why
I'll try to do a better job.
Seven podcasts.
No, actually, that's not why I do the work. It's social media is validation. The podcast I really do just to express myself. Like when I went on Twitch today, Rosenberg Radio, and played a mix of Odyssey's music. That was literally just because I had 20 minutes to kill and I enjoy playing music. That's it. There was barely anyone there. I was just having fun.
You're the best. See, I can say it. You're the best.
And I appreciate that.
And you agree with me. Anyway, when we get back, the Not-So-Daily Don, he's got a list, and it's going to be great. He's going to check it twice right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right, this was topical, and it was also suggested on Twitter. Top five, only one name needed. So the Cher and Madonnas of the sports world. Go.
Wow.
Okay. Let's start off with Pele.
You know what, Peter? That's a good poll. And that's number one. Considering the worldwide fame, considering that nobody knows his actual name, everybody else on this list, you can come up with the rest of the name. Not Pele. Go ahead and try.
I think his last name was Schwartz.
Give it to him, Andrew.
No, his full name is Edson Arantes de Nascimento.
Wow.
Wow.
Pele, number one.
How about Wilt?
No.
What?
No. Doesn't make the list when you hear the list.
So, just because I want to see how many Michael can get wrong in a row, I'm going to go safe here and go with Tiger.
You know what? Another good pull, Tiger. I have Tiger at two.
Well, hey, I might get the order here.
How about Babe?
No.
Oh, you know.
Who are you taking out? Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Babe. Who are you taking out?
Who else is Babe?
So, Don, you're saying it's not just that they have a strong name. It's that when people talk about them, they talk about just one name.
Yeah, because they'll throw out Ruth.
Right. And Don, can they have a first name and last name that everyone knows, but they just call them? And can it be either the first name or the last name?
That's right.
But
in this case, I'll tell you what. Of the three that are left, one's a last name, the other two are first names.
Of the last names, how about Ronaldo?
No, I don't have it on the list.
Huh.
That's a good one,
though.
I don't know who you're taking out. Maybe Andrew's upset with me.
How about LeBron?
No.
LeBron's not on the list.
Nope. How about, they say James. They say King James. LeBron's a good one. But who are you taking out?
Who
are you taking out?
I want to see the five that you have.
All right. Michael.
No.
Wow.
Because you'd be talking about Jackson, too, right?
Not if you're talking about sports, but yeah,
that's
I hear what
true,
you're saying.
But, you know.
This is hard. I like it. I like that this has some thought involved. Go ahead, Michael. You're over, by the way.
Yeah, I got it. Peyton.
Oh, God. This is a horrifying performance. Let's just, Don, don't even respond. I'll just keep going. How about Magic?
That's a good one. I just have it outside the top five. Magic is a good one. But it's more, I guess.
But people say Magic Johnson. They do.
They do a lot.
How about Kobe?
Kobe. Good pull, Michael. I got it at five. Even though people know Bryant, Kobe's enough, right?
That's.
Peter's so upset he didn't get that.
Well, no, I knew Kobe was there. We'll get
then
there.
Why don't you guess it then?
Because I'm trying
to
pull some
other
ones.
He wanted to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He got
a little
arrogant.
How did he know that Kobe wasn't three?
How about Serena?
Good pull, Peter. That's four.
Yeah! Woo! Shooter!
Everybody knows William, but you just say Serena, right? There's no.
Yep.
And the significance to her sport, right?
Is the biggest there ever was.
Michael, I don't know if you've ever gone, especially in a sports one, an Ofer.
I gave you Kobe.
Kobe. Well,
that's
right.
Are you listening?
You got the Kobe.
It barely counts as one because it's so easy, but he got it.
No, it's just one word, so I can't say the great one for Gretzky or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Give us the sport.
Oh, Doc, hold on. Don't
it would
you
give
get
it
a
away.
Hint?
The sport would give it away.
Oh.
I'll say this. It's not one of the four major sports.
Dale.
No.
Oh!
Good pull, though. But Dale Jarrett was pretty good. Who are you taking out?
When people say Dale, they don't mean Dale Jarrett, by the way.
I know.
So you said we have one last name, one first name?
When you say
one
major
left.
Sports, you're including
his last name.
A major sport.
Oh, we have one last name left, Michael. Just one last name.
We got
name.
Kobe at five, Serena at four, Tiger at two, Pele at one. We need three.
So, but when you're saying major sports, you're including hockey.
I said, yeah, well, the four majors.
Okay.
So it's not from the major sports.
No, it's not. I said the four because, God forbid, I'm going to start getting texts that, NASCAR is more popular than hockey.
How about Ali?
Good pull, Michael. Way to come back. Number
three. There you
go. Ali. Number three. So Kobe 5, Serena 4, Ali 3, Tiger 2, Pele 1. Near misses. I almost put Shaq in.
Mm. Oh, the Jackson has to be in there.
But how do you, who are you taking out?
I might take out Ali.
No, you're never taking out Ali. Matter of fact, you could argue Ali should be one.
But people don't always.
People do call him Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, but right. You just say Ali. The movie.
Nobody calls
the
him
the movie
Shaquille
was
O'Neal.
Just named Ali. Right?
But people refer to Shaq more as Shaq than they refer to Muhammad Ali as Ali.
I think Shaq could be above Pele.
But Shaq, Shaquille, Shaq Fu, Shaq Diesel. Right?
Well done.
I'm just saying, when the movie, the Ali movie came out, they named it Ali.
Who else? Who else are your near misses?
There's also people that you really missed out on.
Who's that?
Yogi.
Relax yourself, okay?
Ichiro.
Who you take? Oh, yeah, I'm going to put over who? Who you taking out? Who you taking out, Michael? Kobe? Serena? Ali? Tiger? Pele? If they wanted to be with these people, Ichiro would have to buy a ticket.
He wasn't
Shaq
serious.
Has to be in your top five.
Do we take it out? Who?
No. You take somebody out. It's not my job. Shaq
I'm not taking Ali out
five.
For Shaq.
But Don, would you agree that people, the percentage of the time that someone says is referring to the person, a higher percentage of the time they say Shaq versus Ali alone?
But you Ali's talk about the iconic. Significance of the player.
There you go. Okay, fair enough.
That could be the tiebreaker because I almost put Shaq in.
Who else is just outside the list?
I didn't write it down, so I can't remember.
Wow.
In a word, Peter, this list is slipshod.
I don't know. Why?
I don't think you put much out. Yogi's not there.
All right, but Yogi, but who are you taking out?
Yogi's a bigger name almost than Pele.
Okay, let's wrap it up. It's time to take a break.
Stop it, Michael. I mean, I'm not a soccer fan by any stretch, but it's Pele.
Michael,
but Yogi's got – all right, so if you're going to dig down on Pele, Yogi is above everybody else there. Yogi.
No.
By the way,
nobody called him Larry Berra.
Yogi. But again, is he – I understand Yogi if you were going to do a baseball one, but is he bigger than any of these five?
Give me the five again.
Pele, Tiger, Ali, Serena, Kobe.
Yeah, he might be bigger than Serena and Kobe. Also, you don't have Reggie
that's
there?
Yankee
Reggie,
boy world,
Reggie.
Brother.
Reggie.
That's Yankee world.
Messi.
Ronaldo's ahead of Yogi. Yogi may not be top 10.
You're a clown. You're a disrespectful clown.
By the way.
Maradona.
No. Maradona's behind the soccer players we just mentioned.
I can't believe you threw out Ichiro. And I'm a fan of Ichiro. Has a record for hits in a season. You're not putting Ichiro on this list.
What
you
about
don't even know his last name.
Don, what
Suzuki.
About
Peter does not know his last name.
Suzuki?
There's no way Peter knows Ichiro's last name.
Suzuki.
I just threw it out there.
But I know that. But what about Brady?
We talked about it, but you know, he tried to trademark Tom Terrific. You say Tom Brady.
Or
I guess he's significant, but.
By the way, Michael, this may surprise you.
You and
Ballard in lockstep. Ballard wrote, Ali does not belong on this list. Naming the movie Ali means nothing. Ali also
Ballard.
Has Cassius Clay.
Yeah, but I understand that. But he's Ali.
I got to tell you what, I've turned the corner on Ballard.
That's why
you're
I said
you're dispatching the list because it took you so long to come up with one. That's where it all comes. It's just so, you're so self-absorbed, right, Peter?
Oh, of
he
course.
Judges the list based on how many guesses. If you went 5 for 5, he'd love it.
What about Gretzky?
But he's the great one, Wayne.
Yeah.
I'm down on the list.
Tyson? Well, he has Iron Mike.
You can make the case, but I don't. But let's say that you're okay with the name. Who's he taking out?
It's still tough.
These are iconic. I mean, really, outside of Kobe. And I guess, I don't know, is Pele the biggest name in the history of soccer?
Yes.
Tiger's the biggest name in golf. Ali's the biggest name in boxing. Serena's the biggest name in tennis. Kobe's the only one that's not the biggest name in basketball, but it's Kobe. but it's a unique name.
I mean, because Kobe passed away, obviously he holds a lot in people's hearts. Shaq is a bigger first name than Kobe.
But Kobe's a better player. He's a more popular player. He stood the test of time as a player longer. Even though Shaq was Shaq, I'm not doubting the man. He's amazing.
No, and I thought about Shaq, and I thought about Brady, and I thought about what was the other one? But
well, Don,
I'm comfortable with this five.
Don, let me throw something at you real quick. I'm going to talk just to you, okay, Don?
All right.
Should I go to another room?
No, you can listen, but I'm going to pretend that you're not here.
Okay.
Michael has a tendency with these lists to overstate the baseball of it all. And because he's so close to baseball, he doesn't realize sometimes that baseball, particularly when you get into the international conversation, you lose it completely across the continent of Europe. Gone. Does not exist. And I think he doesn't realize that crushes it from talking about an international conversation.
That's
Yogi
why Pele's so hot.
Internationally known. Yogi is internationally
Yogi
known.
Yogi is not. Yogi could come back from the dead tomorrow, land at Heathrow, come out with a sign that says, I'm Yogi Berra, right, and he'd get back to his hotel without taking a picture.
So basically, Yogi, I'm not internationally known, but I'm known about the microphone.
Well said. But exactly right.
He was posthumously awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by Barack Obama.
Right, so was Rush
President.
But in America.
Okay, I think he's also international.
But no, you don't. You're just saying that to argue.
No, I'm not.
Come on. Where? Japan? Here? That's
it? Can I ask you one question about what you're wearing today? Are you auditioning for the role of Pinky Tuscadero in the reboot of Happy Days or what?
So anytime someone wears a beautiful, gorgeous leather jacket, I have to be Happy Days? This isn't a Happy Days style jacket.
Oh, yeah? It is. It so is.
No, that jacket's much more rugged. This is smooth. This is what we call butter soft, Michael.
This is exactly the jacket that Pinky Tuscadero wore. It's called butter cloth.
Also, Anthony, I think there's a big drop from the first time Michael went, Yogi? Don, I thought that was a terrific list.
Now, can I ask you one thing? Again, this is inside talk. We're doing it on the radio. So coming up in March is Drop Madness. And up until before yesterday, Don's Tiger Woods rant was probably going to win the tournament. Do we pull that out of the equation out of respect? Now, he looks like he's going to be okay in terms of living, which is the most important thing. So does the sniff'em drop still exist?
Because he's okay, relatively speaking, he's not dead, thank God.
Right.
That you put it up there, and if people are uncomfortable with it, they don't have to vote for it.
I think it's fine. I think that, first of all, you weren't referring to his actual, like him dying. That's not what the point of the drop is. That's not what it meant. And seeing as he's okay, I think Sniff'em Dead lives on.
Andrew, you're the commissioner, and you do a bad job each year, so what do you think?
I'm going to be a total coward, and I'm just going to let you guys can decide this one amongst yourselves.
Wow, how about a coward?
I'm going to be such a – I don't know.
I
felt so uncomfortable about it yesterday. And I still –
Well, we were uncomfortable
like
about it yesterday because we didn't know, like, how bad it was, but it looks like he's going
to
be okay. He's not dead.
By the way,
I was not referring to him as actually dying. It's not going to be for another month.
Yeah, you guys know. I would be sensitive to this. I really think it's fine.
Well, what do you think, Michael? You haven't said your opinion.
I think we need more time to let it marinate. Let's see exactly what kind of rehab Tiger has ahead of him. You know, there could be anybody goes under surgery. I think we have to put this on the shelf for a bit.
All right. Well,
we got time.
You haven't even started working on it yet, right, Andrew?
No, not yet.
Yeah. So
he's not a big planner, Don. Like he'll start working on it the day before it has to be done. That's why.
How
he
dare
has
you?
Such
well, because
terrible
it's a work
errors
in
and judgment each and every year.
In the next segment, our champion might be born.
That's the thing. Oh, the snark makes a great point on Twitter. What about the name Ballard? Also iconic on this program.
Snark is right. And Ballard, I think, is an important part of this broadcast. And we should actually bring him on voice-wise, too, not just his name.
What? You feel that strongly now?
I'm turning on Ballard. I really am.
Well, this segment was worth it just to get the turnaround.
Wow. This is big. I don't think it'll last long, but I'm enjoying the moment.
All right, let's take a brief time out, take some phone calls. You could talk about the list. I'm done with it. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael Kay Show.
Will has an interesting take.
Mike just hit a new level of narcomania with that story about the COVID vaccine.
Yep.
You narc on yourself. How is that possible?
Well, I have an answer for you, Will, and I'm glad you brought it up. That's why I can never commit a crime, because I have an overriding sense of guilt, and I would turn myself in. Because if I disapprove of others doing bad things, then how would I approve of me doing bad things? The people that listen and watch this show, you're quite blessed. I'm going to tell you why. And even Don and Peter are quite blessed, and they don't realize it.
Wow.
You're actually experiencing 4 hours a day, a living saint. I'm saint.
The Michael Kay Show.
Yogi.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
See? That's why Andrew can't work on the list. He
you
can't
could start
work
working on
Rob
the list.
Madness, because that gem now has to get wedged in somewhere.
That's not even a 16th seed of the magic that's come out of my mouth. Come on.
Let me hear it one more time. Do you have it isolated?
Yogi?
No.
It's pretty good, though.
Not, well, you really have a nice feel about your region that you say it can't even make a 16.
It can't. It's
Andrew, let's ask the guy that decides these things. Is it on the table, Andrew, that it could be in Michael's bracket?
It's on the table.
But it's going to be off the table.
Michael has a lot of drops, man. There's a lot.
None of them will win because Don's the favorite.
But
of,
you know,
of the people that listen to the show, they
he
love
could
him.
Be, but he could be hurt by recent events. His
Don could burp
could
the alphabet and people would love him. Don plowed his entire neighborhood yesterday.
See? Your best drop is about Don.
Yeah. Don's the show. I mean, I know that hurts your feelings because you've been called the reason, Peter, but Don's
but
the
he's,
show.
I might be the reason, but he's the show.
He's the show.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Domingo Germán spoke to the Yankees, the players, and Aaron Boone said he thought it was emotional and, you know, certainly did what it had to do. Today he met with the media, and he apologized to everybody. Unfortunately, he left out the apologies to the woman that he allegedly struck, which is his girlfriend, and he's still his girlfriend. And I think that Aaron Boone realized it was needed after what Zach Britton said publicly, where you can't choose your teammates. People are angry. People don't like that this happened. And how could anybody like that this happened? Now, the details of what happened up until early this week, I had no idea what happened. I just knew that there was a domestic violence situation, and he was suspended for 81 games. I didn't know any details. Nobody would talk. And, you know, last year we weren't in the clubhouse, so somebody couldn't, like, sidle up and tell you what happened.
Right.
But Lindsay Adler of The Athletic did a really good reporting job, and she wrote a story, I think it was on Monday, where she detailed exactly what happened. CeCe Sabathia had his big charity dinner, and I guess people were having a good time and drinking or whatever. And allegedly, according to Lindsay, Germán just hauled back and slapped his girlfriend right in the face. People were aghast. They separated the two. They sent him home in one car, her home in another car. I give the Yankees credit. Most of the Yankee team was there. From what I've heard, and according to the story, many of them reported what happened. You know, they didn't let loyalty to the team or a teammate stand in the way of doing what's right. And it seemed like everybody that was at that dinner had to testify to an investigator for Major League Baseball. And that's why Germán was suspended in one of the few instances where there was not any criminal charges, because his girlfriend didn't call the police. She never called the police. Also, according to Lindsay's story, bringing the team further into it was that when they got home, she locked herself in a room away from him because he was still raging. And then she called up a Yankee wife and said, please come help me. And the wife came, and the Yankee came as well and tried to calm down Germán. So players don't want to be involved in this stuff. Nobody wants to be involved in this. And Luke Voigt perhaps articulated it best. He met with the media today, and this is what Voigt said.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Domingo said has to stay within the team. He messed up in life, and, you know, I don't condone any of the things he did. And, you know, he's getting a second chance at this, and we have his back, but he's skating on thin ice, and he needs to get his life together. And I think he's doing the right steps to do so. But, again, you know, he's got to prove to us that he can do that.
I just really like the fact that, because I've been around sports so long, that players support players no matter what, no matter how demonic the behavior is, they always have their teammates' backs. And the Yankees have this guy's back, but with a caveat. You know, for Luke Voigt to say he's on thin ice, for Zach Britton to say out loud to the media, you don't get to choose your teammates. Now, I'm a believer in second chances. I saw what it did for Darryl Strawberry. Third chances, I saw what it did with Gooden. I mean, just because you make a mistake doesn't mean that your life has to end. Now, the level of mistake, though, does cut back on the amount of times that you're going to get chances. So Darryl Strawberry, for the most part, although he did do terrible things other than drugs, he was hurting himself. Gooden was hurting himself. And that's why they kept getting chances and why Steve Howe kept getting chances. And, let's be honest, they got chances because I always say this, and it's become cliche now, the great deodorant is talent. If you can help a team win, they're going to give you another chance. But I will tell you this. I don't mind Herman getting a chance here. According to what Adler said, what he did is reprehensible and indefensible. Maybe it was a momentary lapse. So you deserve another chance in life. But I believe that if he even comes close to doing something like that again, I don't care if he's 15-0, I believe the Yankees would release him, and I think that the team would rebel if they didn't. You guys agree or not?
I mean, I agree with everything that you're saying, Michael, but at the end of the day, I'm really surprised the Yankees didn't let him go. That's a heinous act that he did in front of people, putting his teammates in that difficult position to have to defend him because that's what good teammates are supposed to do. They're probably sickened by this. And that's what ends up happening. What happened to Jose Reyes in Colorado, released by the Rockies? Now, he'll get the second chance someplace else, but why does the second chance come with the Yankees? Because then if he slips up again, now that's two times it's happened as a Yankee. So why do I have to deal with this?
Can I ask you a tough question?
Me?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
If it wasn't just in front of his teammates,
right,
but it was on video, would he be released?
Great question. It's a tough question because I don't have the answer. I mean, it happened in football, right? When we saw that video.
It feels like if there was video of him smacking his wife in front of everyone, he would have been released.
But I just think, Peter, there's enough evidence. It was seen by teammates.
Yeah, but the public outcry.
Oh, no, you're right.
I know what Peter's saying. The public outcry is not as strong because, again, visual evidence of something just brings it more shockingly to your senses.
But it just puts all of these teammates in an awkward position because you know they're probably sickened by him. Mm-hmm. But because the team has his back, they feel like, well, he's a member of our team. You can hear it in their voice that they're disgusted by what happened. But because he's in their locker room and there's a championship to be won, they'll live with it. But as the Yankees, I don't want to put my teammates through that. He's not worth it. And sometimes even if you're worth it, it's still not worth it.
But how
we're not talking about Jacob DeGrom.
But how do you do that? How do you do that, Don? When you acquired Chapman after what Chapman allegedly did, and
maybe
was suspended
it's because
30
of that.
Games for.
But maybe it's
right.
because of that.
But they could look at Chapman, and Chapman, as far as we know, and all the years he's been with the Yankees, been an absolute perfect citizen. So they're saying, listen, we're able to control it now. There are no second chances here.
Remind me the timeline. Where was
he
Chapman?
He was a red. He was a red Chapman.
Right. So
when he did it. And then, obviously, his value was shot. Nobody wanted to touch him. And the Yankees said, well, let's take this chance. And they got, you know, a top-flight reliever for virtually nothing.
Right. I wasn't sure what, you know, the time. I knew it wasn't with the Yankees, but
no,
it was with
it
the
wasn't.
Red.
Right.
But that's what happens. You know, Reyes got a second chance with the Mets, right? As you said, Chapman got a second chance with the Yankees. But the team that you're on when it happens always feels the obligation to kind of like, all right, we're going to get rid of you. I don't want to have to deal with it. let the second chance come someplace else. Let him get a fresh start someplace else. And that's where I'm saying maybe the Yankees should have done that. Listen, we saw it. It puts the teammates in an awkward position. You know what? Best of luck to you. Baseball's saying you're allowed to play, but you know what? You can't play for the Yankees. And go get your second chance someplace else. I know it sounds convoluted because you gave somebody else the second chance, but this seems even worse, Michael, because like the Chapman thing, I guess, what was he? He fired a gun. She got scared. She ran into the garage. Deplorable. Disgusting.
No, he fired the gun in the garage.
Right. And she
after
ran.
After having threatened her.
And again, awful. Despicable and deserved to be suspended. If somebody had slapped a woman in public, what happens privately? If you do that in public, what are you doing behind closed doors? This is kind of, Peter, like it was on video. Your teammate saw it. Then he's still apoplectic. Somebody's got to go to the house to calm him down. Because they might have been afraid something worse was going to happen once they got home. And you're keeping him on the team?
Don makes some salient points.
I'm sure it was a very tough call for them. And when you look at it, it's probably, do we cut loose this guy and somebody else is going to give him a chance? And he won 18 games. What he does talent-wise shouldn't have anything to do with it. But I'm sure that there goes the thinking that somebody else is going to pick him up. Like, we picked up Chapman, and they're going to get this guy that could win 18 games in a year. And, you know, you could roll your eyes at that, but this is the business of winning.
Right.
And, I mean, in the NFL, there was a guy who killed somebody in a car accident. I think he was drunk, and he was signed when his suspension was over. So you're always going to get a chance, and maybe the Yankees say, hey, our support system is so great, we can make this work.
Well,
we're going to keep an eye on this guy, and this is the best place for him.
I hope that they're right, but you know, but if you're going to tell me if they're doing it because they think this is the best place for him, but it's, hey, I'm not letting go somebody for nothing who can win me 18 games. But you could also talk about the strategy of it. Well, can I count on that? Because the next time he goes off the rails, he's going to get suspended even longer by Major League Baseball, and I'm going to look like a jerk. It's not happening. The other team gets the second chance. There's a fresh, clean slate. Yankees don't have the fresh, clean slate. They saw this happen. And now he's on the team. So you can't act surprised if, God forbid, it happened again. And the other thing I always get from people, well, the girlfriend's still with him, so if the girlfriend or the wife can forgive him, then shouldn't we? No. How many times do we see women stay in marriages because they've got no other choice, or stay in relationships because they literally have no place else to live, or can't get out of it, or just are so sick in love with the guy they can't break free? That shouldn't be our line of demarcation. Teammates saw this. I don't know how I'd be able to deal with somebody that I got to support and high five after he wins a game, and sit there and talk him off the ledge when he doesn't have a great game, knowing that he did that in front of me? Had disrespected a woman to the point in front of me at a charity event?
And in front of their wives, too.
That's the other thing.
Wives.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you, forget it. Nancy would probably want me traded from the Yankees. I don't think she would even want me to be near this guy. You know, you're caring so much about the talent of Domingo Germán, you're ignoring what the rest of those guys in that room must feel. And the positive is that the Yankees are such a buttoned-up team that the guys will grin and bear it and make it work for them because they know what's at stake. But deep down inside, I would think I'm disgusted with the team that put me in that situation, that I now have to be teammates with this guy after what I saw. Some of those guys turned him in. Did they turn him in thinking that he'd be still their teammate after it was all over?
I guess they turned him in knowing that he would be punished in some way, and he certainly was. And listen, I think the Yankees now are very well aware because of the comments by Britton, who is widely respected in that room and around baseball. And then what Luke Voit said today, it doesn't seem like they're embracing him. It's like, okay, you could be here, but...
It's very, very
short leash.
But here's my thing. If you're keeping someone, it should be because they did something bad, but you wholeheartedly believe in them. You think it was an aberration. You've investigated thoroughly, and you believe they're deserving of a second chance. This reeks of, we don't know about this guy, but he's good. And I don't know, to Don's point, wouldn't we all agree, if we're being honest with ourselves, that while I'm not saying it's an unforgivable act by the Yankees, the objectively the most moral thing to do would be that if you think it was a sick act that you don't condone, you move on from him regardless?
Well, when we had Hal on it, Hal Steinberg, at the end of the year, he said this is something that we're going to look into, and if there's not a proper amount of contrition, and I don't even know the exact words, then he wouldn't be here. So, again, I think Luke Voigt said it best. I think the ice is very thin under this guy. Right. One misstep and he's out. Well, and I understand what Don's saying. Well, it's going to make you look bad, because then why'd you keep him to have that under your, you know, your name?
And then how will this look? He comes out and starts the season and plays terribly over 8 games, and then they let go of him. Had you played well, we could have looked past it. But now you're garbage.
Or he's mowing them down. He's 5-0, and then there's another incident. And now you can't count on him because there's almost a zero tolerance. Now, actually, it sounds like there is a zero tolerance. So a guy that apparently you need and you're counting on at any moment, now you're not going to be able to count on him anymore. I personally would move on. It's a different world now. It's a different world even when Chapman did his stuff. I mean, the Yankees are as professional organization there is. I don't think this is worth it. They are very, very, very conscious of their image. As much as they want to win championships, the one thing that I respect about the Yankees is they care how they're perceived. I don't see how they win in this.
Let's go to O in Brooklyn. O.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Mike. Mike, I was just wondering, if you would have been there, what would you have done? Would you have called the police on him? Because, you know, he can be arrested even if the victim doesn't press charges. So I just wonder what would you have done if you
didn't. I definitely would have talked to somebody. I would have talked to somebody of a high level at the Yankees and tell them what happened. And if there was nothing done,
police?
Then I guess I would have called the police. I guess so. But, I mean, we don't have to worry about that. It was CeCe's event. He would never invite me. So I wasn't put in that situation. Justin in the car. Justin.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Mike. I don't get this. This is what this guy did is despicable. It's disgusting. And why in the world are the Yankees, of all teams, giving this guy a second shot? It's not like he's the second coming of Gerrit Cole. He had one really good season for us, granted, but that doesn't outweigh this. With Doc, they got, like you said, they were abusing themselves, but there was otherworldly talent there. I don't see that watching Domingo Germán. And I'll tell you one thing, as a Yankee fan for my entire life, I will not watch a single game that he starts this year because I think he's a disgusting, despicable human being, and the fact that he's wearing pinstripes makes me not want to wear my jersey. It's such a black eye. When we signed Aroldis Chapman, I was disgusted. And I don't see the win. Just like Peter said, what is the win here in bringing back Domingo Germán? He's a third starter, maybe a fourth starter. But why?
Totally a fair point, man.
I'm not sure, other than the fact that they have been successful with people getting second chances. Strawberry, Gooden, Howe, Chapman. They have a pretty good support system. So now that they know there's an issue, I doubt that something is going to go wrong. But if it does, it's a huge gamble.
I mean, you
also have to ask yourself, do you believe people get second chances? Or is the level of the crime so heinous that you don't get a second chance?
He did serve his time. But why are the Yankees under the obligation to give him that chance? Somebody will give him that opportunity. Why does it have to be the Yankees? Why do they have to be under the obligation to give him that second chance? And I'm a little uncomfortable with comparing it. Listen, Doc had his issues. Strawberry had his issues. Most of them were drugs and alcohol, which you can file under, you know, disease, which you're gonna, I can understand teams giving a second chance. Steve Howe as well. You know, but this is a person that slugs his girlfriend in public, in front of people. So what is he doing at home when nobody sees? Like, that's the level of disrespect he had for this woman that people are watching, and he does that. I'm sorry, I can't compare that to really almost anything else. You're the New York Yankees. I don't see why you should put yourself in that situation. If the Reds, if the Dodgers, if the Braves want to give him a second chance, hey, that's their business. They can do what they want. And as far as the support system is concerned, you know, what can you do? When he's in the privacy of his own home, this is not. I guess you could get it. You can go to a domestic violence or rage kind of class or something like that. But sometimes it's bad guy, and God, to do that in public. Not that it's right to do it in private, but Peter, you know what I'm saying? Well, you don't care
what telling.
Other people are going to think when you do this.
It's telling.
Let's go to Vernon in Harlem. Vernon.
Yes, hi. Michael and Don, how are you?
Good, how are you?
What's up?
And Peter.
Hey there.
Fine. I just feel you guys are a little hard on the Haman. I mean, maybe it was just, an instant where he lost his head. I mean, everyone deserves a second chance.
Yeah, it's a fair argument.
Look how many times Billy Martin got a shot. People sometimes just lose their head. I don't think he's a bad guy.
No, I completely disagree. You raise your hands to a woman in public, and you're gonna fall on. Well, I'm sorry, I just lost my temper. That's what you're capable of doing if you lose your temper.
Yeah.
So I can go out there and just I shot somebody in the mall. I'm sorry. You got to forgive me. I just really lost my temper. And no, come on, man. You're a professional athlete. You're playing for the New York Yankees. If you lose control, that's what you're capable of doing. No. You don't file this away as just a mistake.
Yeah, we didn't hear about a heated argument at home and things got out of control and he made a bad decision. He was immediately... This was, to Don's point, to show that level of anger publicly means you're out of control. Do we know that he went away to any sort of serious sort of treatment? Because this isn't as good... This isn't good... To just say, "Oh, I'm going to work on this. This was a bad moment." Don, doesn't there have to be some level of serious treatment that goes with this?
And Vernon brings up the point, like, "Oh, he just lost control." There was no immediate contrition. He had to be controlled. They had to follow him home. Like, his rage continued. She was fearful for her life. She ran home. He went back there. They had to talk her off the ledge, and they had to calm him down. So if it was, I just lost, you would think the instant that he hit her, you would see, oh, my God, I can't believe that. No, he was still enraged. This guy has anger management problems that have to be taken care of. And why does it have to happen on the Yankees' watch? Just because he happens to be a Yankee? Just because he happens to be kind of good? Maybe good, maybe potentially great? I don't... You talk about the juice being worth the squeeze, as Peter said earlier. Tell me how this is. You benefit from this. Is winning a championship enough? Do you want to be known as that team? You want to be the Oakland Raiders? Just win, baby.
No, they're taking a chance for sure. We'll come back. Actually, have a nice announcement to make, rather than this this troubling stuff that we're talking about. But a nice announcement to make about one of our family.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know this, I don't think.
Well, you know what? Maybe you should read more. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.